I was with my parents and my sister, and my parents are here today. Hi, Mom and Dad. Good to see you. Grateful you're here. And the four of us were talking, and we got talking about the church, some of the changes we've noticed in the church over the years. And my mom said when she was growing up, the church taught her that the most important quality of God was holiness, that God is a holy God, high, set apart, worthy of worship, full of glory, a God who cannot allow sin. And my sister and I thought our experience was different. The church taught us that the most important quality of God was love, that our God is a loving God, a God who welcomes us, accepts us, forgives us. God is holy and God is loving. Which is more important? Which comes first? The God Moses met at the burning bush? Or the God we see in the story of the prodigal son who runs out to embrace his son who has sinned? I think our reading from Hebrews can help us with this. Our reading begins with a poem or a song of sorts. And this poem, this song, honors the word of God. But it's not a kumbaya song. It doesn't make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. The song's message is this: you can't hide. You can't hide. You can't hide from the Lord because the Lord sees everything. Because God's word uncovers what we would like to keep hidden. God's word is described like a knife that's active and sharp, that cuts deep, that separates, that opens up, that judges. And God's word can separate soul from spirit. Things inside we don't even really understand. The word of God knows our thoughts and the purposes of our heart, things we don't always understand ourselves, and sometimes things we don't really want to understand. We don't really want to look and see what's inside. We'd rather that stay hidden in the dark. We're afraid of what we might find there. But God knows us better than we know ourselves. Nothing is hidden from him. His eyes see everything. Another translation of that verse says, everything is naked and exposed before God's eyes. Well, that's always been true for us humans, but it hasn't always been such a scary thought. Think back to Genesis 2. Adam and his wife were both naked, but they didn't feel any shame with one another or with God. But that changed when they disobeyed God. They saw that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together to hide themselves, to cover themselves. They were ashamed. And they heard the Lord God walking in the garden. So what did they do? They ran, they hid. They hid, right, Bob? Yeah. And like Adam and Eve, we know we have sinned and we feel that guilt. We know we are naked and we feel ashamed. And we have the same instinct to cover ourselves or to run and hide, to bury our sin and our shame deep down inside. But Hebrews reminds us this is pointless. We can't really hide from the God who sees all, and still we try because we know God is holy, a holy judge who will hold us responsible for everything we do. This God tells us, be holy, because I am holy. So where does that leave us? We might feel like the prophet Isaiah. He saw God's holiness. He had a vision of God's glory in the temple. God was high and exalted, and angels were around him worshiping, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God who rules over all. Heaven and earth are full of your glory." But Isaiah doesn't join the choir. He stands at a distance. He said, "How terrible it is for me. My mouth speaks sinful words, and I live with a people who speak sinful words." Isaiah knew he could not come close to God's holiness. So what are we supposed to do if we're like Isaiah? When we know we're sinners, when everything that we've been trying to hide is out on a table before the Lord to see. Our selfish thoughts, the way we judged that person just yesterday, our indifference to coming to worship the living God, that deep secret or regret we bury inside, our lust, our shame, the gossip we enjoy spreading. What are we to do? The preacher to the Hebrews says in chapter 10, it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A terrible thing. None of you have left yet. That's a good thing. This isn't exactly a happy start to our scripture reading. But something miraculous happens. Because by verse 16, the preacher of Hebrews says something completely surprising. He said, "Come, let us go boldly to approach God's throne of grace. There's mercy. We'll receive mercy. We'll find grace to help us when we need it." Hold on a second. How did we get from our sin and our shame to boldly approaching this holy God? How did that happen? How did we move from running and hiding to running to this God? How is this possible? What could possibly connect these two distant places, these two distant experiences? Is this even the same God, the holy God who sees our sin and the God of grace and mercy? If you have your Bibles open, take a look at verse 13. And if you don't, you can open your Bible back up to page 1276. Top of the page, verse 13, the last sentence, "He will hold us responsible for everything we do." That translation isn't very close to the original Greek. The original Greek words could be translated, "To him we must give an account." To God we must give an account. We must give God our account. Now, the word account in Greek is actually logos. Have you heard that Greek word, logos? That's the word for word, the word for word. So we must give God our word, a word about ourselves. But we stand with Isaiah. All we have are sinful words. What kind of word could we give God that could free us from our guilt and our sin and our shame? Do you see that space between verse 13 and verse 14? It's like a centimeter on the page. That's really the distance between heaven and earth, that space. It's the distance between heaven and earth, and in that space, in that space between verse 13 and 14, there's a dramatic shift. When our word, our sinful word, is interrupted by another word, another logos, a word from God, a new and better word, we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God. Friends, it's this word, this priest, who bridges the gap we feel, who holds together God's holiness and God's love, who shows us that these really aren't two distant realities, but they belong together because this God who is holy is also loving. Always. Whenever God is holy, God is also loving. And whenever God is loving, God is also holy. God is always the same. And we hear this holy love spoken so clearly in the person of Jesus Christ, the Word, the Logos, made flesh for us, our great high priest, the one who stands between heaven and earth. The past couple of weeks, I've been thinking about heart surgeries. You know that our own Justine Seppa is in Ann Arbor right now with her newborn son, Benelouk Imani. He had heart surgery just on Monday. And praise God, Seppa said he's doing well. He's recovering well. He was just, yeah, praise God. He was crying this morning. He's ready to go. We are so grateful. At the same time, some good friends of ours, Jan and I, live in North Carolina. They also have a baby boy named Liam, who also has a congenital heart defect. And he had his second heart surgery a couple weeks ago. That picture was just after the surgery. And they weren't sure if he would make it in his recovery. He was struggling. But by God's grace, he made it through, and he's doing well. This is Liam just 2 days ago. You can't see the top of the scar, maybe, from the surgery, but he's doing well. And I've been thinking about these surgeries and these precious baby boys. What a trial to go through. To endure a major surgery to fix a hidden problem in their heart. Their small bodies had to be cut open to be healed, to receive a new life. Justine entrusted her son to the hands of a surgeon, someone she barely knew. That's an act of faith. To trust this surgeon to bring healing by wounding her son. Some of us in this room have gone through major surgeries. You've had to trust your life to a surgeon, to trust that she knows exactly what she's doing, that she is wounding your body in order to heal you, as the way to heal you. God's holy love works on our souls in the same way. If we want to be healed, we must first be cut open by God's word. This is a terrible thing. There's nothing easy about it, to have our sin and our shame opened up before a holy God. But if we refuse to trust God's sharp holiness, we can't be healed by his tender love. We can't have one without the other. And this asks for faith from us, that this holy God uses sharp words for our good. God's holiness destroys sin for the same reason doctors try to destroy disease. For health, for wholeness, for new life. That's the goal of the surgery. God judges us in sin in order to heal us from it. From the prophet Amos, we heard that God's holiness is like a fire that burns. And the prophet Isaiah, when he was before God's holiness, an angel came with a hot burning coal and touched his lips to burn away his sin and his guilt. And he said, "You're forgiven." I was reminded this week of some words from the prophet Hosea. And I texted these to Justine yesterday. "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he'll bandage our wounds. After 2 days, he will give us new life. On the third day, he'll make us new again. Then we will enjoy his blessings." Friends, with this God, there's always a death before there's a resurrection. There's always a no before there's a yes. But remember that God's no to our sin is for the sake of God's yes to our healing. Amen? Amen. God's holy love is not safe or easy or comfortable, but it's always for our good. It's for our life. And we can be confident of that because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our great high priest, who knows what it's like to be exposed, to be shamed, to be judged, to be wounded, who knows our pain, who knows our weakness, who even now bears the wounds of sin, and who never stops praying for us before the throne of God, who lives for us, and who searches for each one of us and says, "Come, come with me. I'll take you to the throne room of grace, because mercy is waiting for you there." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.